Let's get to the sermon. And today I want to start with a confession. I used to think that being close to Jesus was the same as actually following him. I thought that proximity or familiarity with him was enough. That going to church, reading my Bible, praying, even preaching was enough to consider me a follower of Jesus. But somewhere along the way, I had to confront this. What if I am walking on a false road? What if I'm growing fake fruit? And what if I'm known by God, but his name is not on my lips? So much so that eventually he forgets who I am. And he looks at me and I say, "Father, it's nice to see you." And my name's, of course, you know, my name's Adam. And he looks at me and goes, "Adam, who?" And those are the types of things that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount today. We're going to look at verses 13 through 23. So if you don't have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 7, I would encourage you to get there. Now, this is a warning and an invitation that Jesus gives us here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And it might be the most sobering and loving things he has ever said. And I don't think he's trying to scare us in the sense of causing us to feel terrified. I honestly believe that Jesus is trying to wake us up. So we're going to spend today looking at verses 13 through 23. Next week we will wrap up the Sermon on the Mount. But this is a passage that is about fake fruit. It's about false roads and the haunting possibility of a forgotten name. And it's all about learning to see clearly, to know the difference between appearance and reality, between claiming Jesus and actually becoming like Jesus. So here is where we're going to go today. This is what we are going to explore. We're going to look, number one, at the false roads that Jesus mentions in verses 13 and 14. Then we'll look at this fake fruit idea. And then the idea of a forgotten name. And he uses these three images to try to relay to us the importance of really, truly knowing him. So we're going to look at the story of the Bible, and it tells us from the garden to the prophets to Jesus that we need to avoid the illusion of familiarity, the illusion of proximity to Jesus. This idea that we have this false sense of relationship with him. And how do we enter into the narrow gate? How do we become fruitful people? How do we go and make sure that we hear the words, "I know you," rather than the words, "I never knew you"? So if we go back to the beginning, we go back to the very first page of the Bible, Genesis, all right? The Bible gives us a garden, and in that garden, there are two trees, right? There is the tree of life and the tree of what? The knowledge of good and evil. Jesus, or God, tells Adam and Eve they can eat of the knowledge of the tree of life, but they are to refrain from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And these trees represent two things. One is a path that leads towards life, and the other is a path that leads to death. God's giving them a choice, and the choice is clear. You can choose God and his wisdom, be his co-ruler on the earth, rule with him, for him, and under him. Or you can try to seize autonomy, seize power for your own self. And that's how the scriptures open. And that same thread runs throughout the Bible. You get to Psalm 1, and it speaks of two paths, right? The path that leads to life, like a tree planted by streams of water. And then there's one that withers and it dies. And by the time we get to Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses is pleading with Israel. He says, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." Moses says, choose life. And I really think that's what Jesus is asking us today. Choose life. Jesus comes to us and now he's standing on a hillside and he's telling his listeners the exact same thing, but I think with more clarity and more weight. So let's listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, Jesus is not talking about geography. He is talking about two ways of life. The gate is the entrance, the threshold. The road is the way you walk after you enter through it. One way is easy. It's crowded. And it's even religious sounding. It has the symbol of faith. And it's kind of the default. It's kind of where people just naturally gravitate towards. You don't have to change anything. You can follow the crowd, live for yourself, and still feel spiritual. But Jesus says that this is the false road. It is crowded. It's easy. It doesn't require change. You can carry whatever baggage you want. You can sprinkle in a little Jesus without surrendering your will to him. But it ends in destruction. It does not lead to life. Now, if you're like me, I always read this passage in a final judgment scene kind of way, right? That life is eternal life and death is eternal death. And maybe that is the ultimate view of these passages. But I think he's talking about more of what Psalm 1 is talking about. If you choose not to follow Jesus, your life will wither and die. So we have a choice to make. We can choose the wide road, or we can choose the narrow gate that requires surrender. And this isn't just about effort or legalism. It's about a surrender of our lives to God. It's about letting go of the illusion that we're already fine. We're as good as we need to be. And this isn't earn your way in. It's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying die to the old way and step into a new life. Now, he's not telling us go out there and find the hardest possible path. He is saying the path is narrow because not very many people find it. Few actually find it because the reality is few truly want transformation. Maybe you've seen the cartoon floating around on social media. It's got a crowd of people and someone standing at a pulpit like this. And he shouts, "Who wants change?" And all the hands go up. And then he says, "Who wants to change?" No hand goes up. And that's kind of where we are. We don't actually want transformation. Most people want comfort with Jesus on the side. Just need a little bit of Jesus. Just to keep me safe, keep me out of jeopardy, so I can sleep at night. Well, that's familiarity, but it's not following Jesus. By the way, this path, Jesus is the gate, and Jesus is the way. It's not something you have to conjure up, manufacture, devise your own. It's simply about following Jesus. Now we have to be careful because there are a lot of people out there posing as not only just false messiahs, but false prophets. They claim to speak for Jesus. But the truth is, they're liars. And it's very hard sometimes to discern if you're not paying attention. Because they're good at using the right words. They're even good at using props, Christian symbols. They're even good at maybe going through some of the religious acts of faith, So they look very religious. They look to be the genuine article, but they're not. And Jesus warns about that in chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. And the good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits." That seems pretty elementary, right? Sounds pretty easy, and that is why it's so insidious. It looks and sounds so simple, but it's not. Jesus is sounding a clear warning to us. People who claim to speak for God but don't live like Him aren't the real deal. Jesus clearly says, you will know them by their fruit. In the Hebrew Scriptures, there is a theme of the prophets who hammered this home, right? That there are some out there who are incredibly charismatic, can even do miraculous signs, right? But they are not Christ-like. They just look like it. They're playing a role. And the Old Testament prophets judged by fruit, not by fame. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of them confront leaders who say the right words but exploit the poor, neglect the vulnerable, and oppress their neighbors. They look the part. They wear the right robes, but their fruit is rotten. And Jesus picks up on that same tradition here. He's saying, just because someone sounds spiritual does not mean that their life is rooted in the kingdom. Good trees bear good fruits, period. So if you have someone who uses religious language, religious symbols, they talk the talk, but they're cruel, heartless, prone to violence, pride, greed, the works of the flesh that Paul describes in Galatians chapter 5. Red flags ought to be going off everywhere. If they're not bearing, you say, well, what kind of fruit? What does fruit look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If you don't see those qualities in a person, and they're using religious language, religious props, and even going through the motions of religious activities, you know what their hearts truly are. And the warning is clear. See them for what they really are. Call them out for what they really are. And stay away from them. So the question is, what kind of fruit are they bearing? And this is not just about doctrine. Too often we've boiled down good fruit into good doctrine. Oh, they know what we teach. No, it's not enough. It's how they treat people. It's how they respond to conflict. It's how they live when nobody's watching, when the cameras are off. Don't mistake charisma for Christ-likeness. Don't settle for fake fruit. Jesus is saying, being discerning here. It's easy to be tricked. You got to watch. Then he goes on. He says one of the most sobering things he's ever said, I think, and that is the idea of your name being forgotten. Verses 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, there's that religious language, right? They know his name, they can say it, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, religious activity, in your name? Did we not cast out demons, more religious activity? And do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Now, if that doesn't wake you up and cause you to pay attention. Again, this is not salvation by works. This is about what real trust in Jesus looks like. I can go to church. I can say I believe in God. That's not the same as following the ways and the will of Jesus. I hear that a lot when people find out I'm pastor, minister, whatever label you want to attach to me, the most holy potentate. I'll take any of them. Actually, I don't like labels. It always confounds people. What should I call you? Adam. That's my name. Call me Adam. And especially if we've interacted for a while and they've let their true colors kind of show, and they use foul language, tell dirty jokes, say things they shouldn't, gossip, whatever. And then they find out I'm a preacher. Oh, I believe in God. Okay, great. I want to say to them, so do demons. What's your points? Doesn't mean you're following Jesus. There's a difference between saying, I believe in God, I go to church, I even believe in Jesus, and following Jesus into a cruciform, upside down way of love, mercy, repentance, and justice. They say the right words, right? There's a difference between knowing and being known. They say Lord, they know His name, right? They even do impressive things, but they don't know Him. They aren't living the way of the kingdom. So this is Jesus pleading with us. Don't settle for looking spiritual. Don't confuse familiarity with faithfulness. They're not the same. And if you do confuse it, you run the risk of hearing the phrase, I never knew you. Don't assume proximity equals relationship. Don't assume that familiarity equals relationship, because it doesn't. So let's be honest. This is a hard word. It's not so much a word of condemnation as it is a word of invitation. I don't think Jesus is angry here. He is urgent. I don't think He's threatening here. I think He's inviting us to wake up before we walk too far down the road that leads to nowhere. And there's hope. Jesus is the narrow gate. He is the guide. And He's asking us to walk with Him in love. He's saying, come to me, walk with me, learn from me. The gate is narrow, but it is open. And anyone can come and follow me. So, that leaves us with some questions. What would it look like to answer these questions? Do we recognize that saying, I believe in God, or I go to church, or I read my Bible, is not the same as saying and living, I follow the words and ways of Jesus? That's what Jesus is warning against. It's something we all have to answer. It's something I had to answer. I can preach all the sermons in the world. I can do all the daily prayer videos I want to do. And I can still not bear good fruit. The second question we have to ask, are we content with being near Jesus, or do we want to be known by Him? Sorry, I turned around and want to see what it looked like on the screen. Do we want to be known by Him? And do we just want His name on our lips? Or do we want His life in our bones? That when people see us, they see the fruit of the Spirit. They don't just see Adam. They see at least a part of Jesus. We sang, they'll know we are Christians by what? By our love. Not the names we can quote. You may be able to quote all the Old Testament names of Yahweh. Doesn't matter. Are you following? Because in the end, we don't want applause. We don't want an award for performance. We want to hear those words. I know you, and you are mine. That's the goal. So So church, come. Enter into the narrow gate and live. A life that is greater than anything the world offers and greater than anything you can imagine. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Jesus is the gate. Not only is He the gate, but He is the shepherd along the way. He is the vine that gives us life. Father, we don't want to walk down false roads or bear fake fruit. We don't want to be strangers to Your heart. So, Father, search us and know us. Teach us to walk Your path of life. Give us the courage to leave behind what's easy but empty. Help us to follow You in the narrow way of love and truth and mercy. Father, let Your Spirit shape us into the people who are known by You and who reflect the kingdom in the world. Father, thank You for these sobering but loving words. May they sink deep into our hearts and bear good fruit. To the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would, please stand with me before Bill leads us in our final song. May you go with the courage to walk the narrow road, with humility to bear good fruit, and with the joy of being known by the risen King. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen.